bless you, brother. Thank you. Good morning. Good to be here. And I want to tell the folks, especially those that were here at Sunday school, the beginning of that, they gave me a very warm welcome. I encouraged it, but they gave me a very warm welcome, and I really appreciate that. Many of you, I just probably would say I don't know you. Maybe the first time I've met you. Several of you I know from the past. Used to be very involved in the association and so forth. And so been down here many times. Just trying to think. I moved to the Indianapolis area back in 1986, and I think I've helped in a couple of meetings down here. Been to many revivals, associations, and Brother Danny, you look familiar. Okay. Sister Marilyn, God bless you, hon. And so it's good to be here. Appreciate the goodness of our Lord. Don't want to be offensive to anyone, so the fact that I do not have on a dress shirt or a tie, hopefully that's not offensive to anyone. In fact, I may even exacerbate the problem. I'm a little warm this morning, so I'm just going to take this thing off real quickly. And now you noticed that I didn't take it off and fling it, okay, like I was in a big toot or something. So I like to be comfortable. I hope that you're comfortable, but don't be too comfortable. I don't want you going to sleep, okay? All right. So, boy, we got a lot on the table, don't we, today? My goodness, I got to tell you, I am going to be so glad when Tuesday's come and gone. Well, I'm afraid right now it may linger on for several days or maybe even longer than that after all of this, but my goodness, I'm so tired of this. You know, they just wear you out, don't they? You know? And before long, it all becomes somewhat, to me, of a blur. You know, you hear accusations and counter-accusations, and it just is like, oh my gosh, who do you believe? You know? Well, you believe God. He's the ultimate authority. And I'm just going to give you a little thought here. This is my thinking. Folks, sometimes in elections and other things, we almost have to make a choice between what I'm going to call the lesser of two evils. I hate to say that, but it seems like that's getting the way that it is, you know. And so have I told you anything? Not really. I just know from my own position. I have certain principles that I just breaks my heart whenever I see so many things. And I'm going to go so far as to say, you know, we may have a candidate that whose personality is a jerk. All right. But I may agree with his policies. And on the other side of the coin, I may have a candidate that's got a good personality, but I may not agree one thing with his policies. So have I told you anything there? Probably more than I should have. But again, I'm convinced that we as Christians, as citizens of the United States of America, that we need to exercise our privilege and right to vote. And again, folks, it may simply be a matter of, in my opinion, voting for the lesser of two evils. So, boy, don't get me going, right? And whatever. My name is Terry Foster. Some of you may remember my oldest son, Brad. He pastored here briefly a few years ago. So I am his father. I don't know if he will claim me, but anyway, he'll borrow money from me, but I don't know if he'll claim me. You know how that goes, parents. So yeah, right. So you're going to have to, Got my lovely wife with me of almost 50 years. We'll be married, November the 20th. November the 20th, did I get it right? The 28th. Brad, my oldest son, was born on November the 20th, a year later. So, what, hon? What have I done now? What? Oh, okay, but... Give me some credit. I knew I shouldn't even have mentioned that, but we're going, it is the 28th, right? Our anniversary. Okay. Well, I'm 70 years old, and things don't work like they used to, all right? They really, really don't. I had something happen to me not over a year ago, and it has definitely affected my thought processes and so forth. And my wife has had multiple back surgeries, and she doesn't get around well. I have a genetic disease that affects my mobility and legs and so forth. So we're quite the pair. You know, I don't know who's going to take care of us in a few years, but we'll let somebody else decide that. Folks, again, I want to thank you for inviting me. I understand that your former pastor, Brother Elliot, has just accepted the pastorate down at Becker Drive in the Louisville area, and I pray that God will bless him in his efforts there. You've been without a pastor quite a while, haven't you? Almost a year? So that's, folks, for the, you know, I'm, most of the churches I've been going around to lately, they don't have this number, and so... You got good singing, as I said, so you seem to have a lot going for you, and I want to encourage you to just keep on with the Lord. It's tough today. It's tough. I don't know who originated this, but these are times that try men's and women's souls. I've never seen a time like it. I've got to put it in perspective to my age. Never seen anything like this, but I can go back in history, and I love history, and I can find a lot of times, folks, when people like you and I, they were pressed, sorely pressed, to keep their faith. And may God bless us all. I need your prayers. I want to be faithful. I want to be able to say, I fought a good fight. Amen. I do. I want to be able to come to the end of my journey. I want to say, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I don't know if I have, but I want to hopefully think so. So, as the days get darker, not only are we going to be experiencing that in our weather, natural phenomena, it's going to be darker tonight because we lost an hour of daylight in the evening. But the days are getting darker. They are. Does that depress you? Well, does me. I ain't happy about it. Excuse my poor English there, but I'm not happy about it. I want everything to be bright and rosy, don't you? I want every morning when I get up that the sun will be shining and that something will whisper down to me from above and say, good morning, Terry, you're one of mine. Right? Don't happen very often. Maybe that's my fault, a lot of it. But a lot of times I get up and the weather's dark, it's raining or something like that, and I don't do well in the winter with everything. I grew up in an era, I was born in 1950, we were one of the first families in our little rural area of southwest Missouri. One of the first families to have television, about 1954 if I remember correctly, and my goodness, it was a big old box that had a little bitty screen on it, okay? And the thing, nobody had them. Again, we were one of the first families in our area. And people would come over, especially on Saturday nights, to watch Gunsmoke, something of that nature. Westerns were big then, you know, and I grew up on the Lone Ranger and, Wagon Train and things like that. And, that was, I wanted, every Christmas I wanted to get some six shooters or something like that so I could go out and kill the bad guys. I shouldn't say that in church, I guess. But anyway, it was just, don't you love a good Western? Whenever that the Ford or the wagon train was surrounded by the enemy, generally it were Indians in those days. We shouldn't say that today. In fact, I have a lot of Cherokee blood in my family, and I know I've read all too often about some of the things that happened to them on their journey from the Carolinas over to Oklahoma. But anyway, but all of a sudden, at the most dire moment, here would come the cavalry, or here would come somebody usually riding on a white horse, and just the sound of the trumpet of the cavalry or something like that, and all of a sudden these bad people would all disperse, and or maybe they would stick around and fight for a little while, but not very long. All's well, right? Another great deliverance. Let me read to you, and I don't know how much of it to read this morning, out of the book of Daniel, trying to find something that would set what I'm wanting to say. Don't know how much you know about Daniel. I really hope that you know a lot about it. Daniel was a Hebrew, a Jewish, young Jewish man, that when a king from Babylon to the east of Jerusalem, several hundred miles, decided that he wanted to conquer Jerusalem, he did. He was just a big, powerful bully, so to speak, and whatever he wanted, he could pretty well take, and not very much opposition to it. So Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem, and by the way, the Jewish people in Jerusalem, they weren't behaving very well. They had, for the most part, abandoned their God. God had sent prophets to them, primarily Jeremiah and a few others, and they tried to warn these people, repent, turn back to God. Sound familiar? Amen. Yeah. And the thing about that I marvel about Jeremiah, he lived about 600 years or so, somewhere in that time frame before Jesus. The thing I marvel about Jeremiah was that when God called him, he basically said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, they're not going to listen to you. I'm going to put my word in your mouth and I'm going to send you to these people, but they're not going to listen to you. You know what I would have done? I would have thrown up my hands. And I says, okay, I'm not going to go then. I would have played a Jonah or something like that in that situation. But seriously, he was told this, and yet he still went and did it because God said, go. There are a few people out there that when God says go, they will go. And he warned him, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to mistreat you. They eventually killed him. But he still went. Well, Nebuchadnezzar came, captured Jerusalem, burned it down because they were just a rebellious people, and took a bunch of the young people, especially of the Israelites, of the Jews there in Jerusalem, and took them to Babylon. This was a typical thing to do. You pick out some of the best ones and smartest ones and so forth, and you remove them. It did two things. Number one, it usually stopped people that were staying there from rebellion. Of course, you had taken away, their powerful people or their people that had a lot of influence among them. But you also, the Babylons got a bunch of good brain power there. Daniel and two and four... I told you I'm going to have troubles, but Daniel and three of his friends were doing great over there for a little while. They were brought by the power of God, I believe, into favor with Nebuchadnezzar. And it was just going great. You know, old Nebuchadnezzar, bless his heart, had a dream. He couldn't even remember it. So he called, finally, I'm going to make a long story short, or try to. He got a hold of Daniel, and Daniel told him the dream and interpreted to him. And man, Nebuchadnezzar was, wow, this is great, you know. But it didn't take long for Nebuchadnezzar to forget that. People have a short memory. Sometimes I have a short memory, and sometimes that's good. Especially if somebody does us wrong, it's good to have a short memory. You know, there's no sense lingering over it. There's no sense letting it eat you alive. You might as well just have a short memory and let it go on, okay, and get on with life. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had this bright idea. He had seen this in his dream. He had seen a huge statue, I'm going to call it, and he decided to build one. And on top of that, he decided, you know what? People are going to bow down before this image, and they're going to worship it. Regardless, this is my decree. So guess what? There were a few people, three particular young Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that was their Babylonian names. They had Jewish names, but a lot of times they would change their names. But anyway, some people didn't like them. They had too much power with Nebuchadnezzar the king. And so they were wanting to limit that. Did you realize that politics has pretty well kind of been the same for the history of mankind? Been a pretty rotten source of problems. So they wanted to cause as much trouble for these boys as they could. Well, not only had the king, you know, not only was it a threat just to demote them or to fire them. No, if you didn't worship my image that I've built out in the plains out there, you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Oh, now it gets interesting, doesn't it? You know, and so the time came, and he had a signal whenever they would play all kinds of musical instruments and so forth. Everybody in the kingdom was to bow down and worship this image, maybe from near or far, I don't know. Oh, you've always got some hard heads in the group, don't you? Here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they ain't having nothing to do with it. Again, forgive my English. They're not having anything to do with it. What's the matter with these guys? Don't they know? Just bow a little bit, you know, let it go, and, you know, tomorrow it'll be all over. No, they're nuts. They decide they're going to make some kind of not only a political statement, but more than that, they're going to make a religious statement. They're going to make a statement of conscience. They're going to say, no, I don't believe in idols. I don't believe in bowing before them. What's the harm? We were talking in Sunday school. I wish all of you had been here. My goodness, our children are being taught things today, and I can just see, you know, the newspapers. Three Hebrew bigots, you know, refuse to worship our God. Why? There's no difference in them. We all know that all religions lead to the same place, right? Right? No, they don't. Folks, it's just not possible. There are certain laws of logic there in play that you can't, quite honestly, I'm just going to use two of the extremes. You cannot say that Christianity and the Muslim religion, that they lead to the same place. They don't. They are mutually exclusive religions. One claims that Allah is the only source, submission. Whereas we as Christians, what do we believe? We believe that there is one God, but he is manifested in three distinct persons, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that Jesus was the Son of God. Not only does Islam teach something different, but they deny. They don't deny the historicity of Jesus, but they deny that Jesus actually died on the cross and that he was actually resurrected. I think that's a big fundamental difference, don't you? I really do. And somebody say, oh, it doesn't matter. We're all going to the same place. Well, no, we're not. Folks, that's just not possible. Hinduism with their pantheon of gods, multiple gods, Buddhism, which is basically an atheistic religion and so forth. Folks, they're just not compatible. You know, I mean, to me, and of course I'm a Christian. Oh, then you're biased. Well, am I biased if I think I have studied this out? Am I really prejudiced because that I have, you know, not only have I read the Bible, but I have taken into consideration what Islam is teaching. I've taken into consideration what Hindus teach. I've taken into consideration what Buddhas and so forth has. And so if I've come to a conclusion that there is only one way, does that make me biased? Well, yeah, it makes me biased toward the truth. That's my opinion anyway. And I want to stand by it. Folks, believe what? I believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I don't think there's any... Can you be a Christian and not believe that? I don't know how. Of course, you can call yourself anything that you want to in the world today, but it don't make you so. You know? And so, folks, I've studied this. Yes, I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather was a missionary Baptist preacher. My mother was a faithful woman to take me to the house of God. A lot of times, when I just said a lot of times, I ain't going. Well, I'm using that word ain't a lot. Somebody forgive me, please. But anyway, folks, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things I accepted when I was younger about the religion. But guess what? I was called to preach when I was 19 years old. Well, I told my call to preach when I was 19 years old. A few years later, I was ordained into the ministry. And all of a sudden, I had to start studying, really had to start studying for myself. And what is what I'm telling you all the truth? Why would I want to tell you a lie? Why would I want to tell you something that doesn't make any difference? We might as well believe in fairy tales, goblins or something. We just had, you know, a lot of goblins maybe come around last night and so forth. What difference does it make? Well, it makes difference to my soul. My soul. That's all I've got. Well, I've got more than that, but folks, that's my primary element about me is my soul. What am I going to do if I lose my soul? What hope have I got if I lose my soul? And so through the course of my years of over 50 in the ministry and so forth, folks, I've changed my mind on several different subjects, but I've not changed my mind about Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Okay, I'm back to my subject. Here are these boys, they're not politically correct. They don't get it. I hope there's a lot of you here today that don't get it. What happened? Well, they were called to the attention of Nebuchadnezzar. He knew them. He had a lot of trust in them. He called them to a council right to his face. And he says, what's it? I'm paraphrasing here. Bear with me, please. He says, what's going on, guys? I promoted you. I've given you big jobs in my kingdom. And now I'm hearing that you're not obeying my commands. I will read a little bit if I can find it here real quickly. It's in the, Terry, come on. Verse 19 of the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage or countenance or his appearance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And remember, those were their Babylonian names. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. I don't know how hot that was in centigrade or Fahrenheit, okay? But I think it's pretty hot. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Well, let me go back. I'm sorry. Got ahead of myself. I got to go back to the 16th verse. When they were confronted for their disobedience, these boys said, O Nebuchadnezzar, 16th verse, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not even going to hesitate. You know, a lot of times I've been asked questions and I'm like, whoa, you know, what am I going to say? You know, you want to get your words right. That's good. But these boys were prepared. I mean, they basically knew what was coming down. And they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're going to tell you like we believe it. If it be so, listen, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. You know what the problem was back then? I got to throw this in. The problem was pluralism. The people of the old, they didn't mind that you had your own gods. They didn't care if you worshiped the God of Abraham. They just wanted you to give equal time to their gods. And then whenever you refused to do that, then they would get upset. Isn't that what we're seeing today? You Christians claim that you are it. Well, I don't claim I'm it. I just claim that I serve the person that is it, Jesus, the one and the only. If I'm at fault again, I don't want to go back, but anyway. You know, if you went out to people today, well, there'd be a few groups that wouldn't buy it. Some extremist Muslims wouldn't, but mostly people just want to get along. Can't we just get along? Well, I wish we could. But you know, folks, it's just not possible. Some people will believe a lie, unfortunately, and be damned. Sad, isn't it? We talked about that again in Sunday school. But if not, look, King Nebuchadnezzar, we know who you are. And we know what you can do. But better than that, we know the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we know what he can do. And we know if he wants to, he can deliver us. And it wouldn't take much power. But if not, oh, when you see the word but, I think it's called a conjunction. My English is not the best. There's always a situation there. But what if he doesn't? What happens? Doesn't God always want to deliver us? Right now in our situation in our country, doesn't God want all of us? Doesn't he want the best for our country? Well, I believe he does. But sometimes we just won't take it. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're not going to do it. Tough. Make no mistake about it, folks. Life and death. You and I may never face that. I'm 70. I don't know how many more years I've got, but I don't like the way that the trends are going. You and I, as especially what we would be labeled as conservative Christians, we're bigots. Do you not know that? We're bigots. We're the problem. You know, we've stopped all the progress. You know, if we just sit down and shut up, then we could have, I don't know what that they might do. I don't think there would be any limits. And it's hard to make that statement, isn't it? But folks, and I, without getting into details, please take my generalities and let your minds run. It's so hard for me to imagine. I'd like to take some of these politicians and I'd like to put them into an abortion clinic for a day or for a week and let them work there and see if they still feel the same way about aborting babies, especially some of those that are almost to full term. I'd like to send them in there. I think it ought to be mandatory for them to go there and do that. And did I get off? Sorry if I insulted anybody. I shouldn't, I don't think. But I'm just like, I go back to, when was it? The 1970s whenever our Supreme Court, working on very little information, and their basic statement was, if I remember correctly, was, well, we can't really tell when life begins. And so, and I'm saying, oh my, shouldn't you err on the side of caution? Okay, I maybe can understand whenever you're talking about in biology, whenever that an egg is fertilized and it just begins to divide there, okay, maybe I can say, well, okay, but my goodness. Okay. Well, I'm not going to do it, King. We're just not going to do it. I want to turn over. My time's running out. I apologize. Oh, mine says 101. Sorry, I've really gone over. Maybe I ought to move my... I did that one time at church that I was pastoring. They had a clock right behind me, and it was about 10 minutes past 12, and I could see a lot of people were there looking at that clock, and so it had a stem on it, and it was one of those old analog ones, and I just went over and turned it back about 20 minutes or so. Didn't please anybody, but I felt good. You know, isn't that what's important? Nah, forgive me. I get silly sometimes. Years ago, I read somewhere it was in the Indianapolis. What am I looking for here? Book of Hebrews. Somebody, they always had something in there, and it said, the skeptic, somebody commented, the skeptic has learned to laugh so as not to cry. And the minute I read that, I said, that's me. I mean, there's so much out there in the world that just would make you sick to your stomach or cry or whatever, and sometimes a good laugh. In the 11th chapter, I got to get to where I'm going. Folks, what am I trying to say? God knows when to deliver people. I've always thought it strange when I think about the Acts of the Apostles at the very beginning. You remember one of those incidents where people talk about and comment a lot when Peter got arrested and the people just went down and had a big old prayer meeting for him and he got delivered. All right? Just a few months later, there was a man by the name of James who was another apostle that he got his head cut off. Dummy me. I want to know why. You know, Lord, why did you deliver Peter, and why did you let them treat James so barbarically? My wife is going to cringe when I say this, folks. Boy, I can't wait to get to heaven. course, I'm gonna ask James, the guy that got beheaded. I said, James, how did you feel? He said, well, it didn't feel good at the point, but I feel okay now. I don't mean to make a joke about it. I apologize for that. But why? Why are some people delivered? And should we expect deliverance for our nation today? Is it in the will of God? I don't know. I do not know what lies ahead of us. I don't know what lies ahead of me. I've got great-grandchildren, and folks, I'm going to tell you what, it just so bothers me that they're being raised in this world today, and do I tell my children are past having kids, I hope, but do I tell my grandchildren, you know, don't have any more kids? It's just too bad of a world. Just, you know, do I want to take from them the pleasure of having children, even though we know what kind of heartaches that they can give us as parents? But yet, folks, there's a great amount of joy. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. I love it when all my family, and I've got a bunch of them, when we get together. I've said one thing about my boys. I've said they may not be living exactly like I want them to, but in the Bible where it says to be fruitful and multiply, they took that seriously. Okay? They took that seriously. But I love them. We just had a grandson? Dawson? Grandson? Okay. Another great one. And I haven't seen him yet, and I want to. But I fear for what they're being raised in. What do I do? Again, do I just go to those that I love and just tell them, don't have any more children? No, because you know why? There might be a Daniel in there. There might be a Jeremiah in there. There might be somebody, a Moses. Maybe there's somebody in my family line that'll be one of those instruments that God will use to bring about real reformation in our country. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say about all these children that are aborted. How many Albert Einsteins have we lost? How many Abraham Lincolns have we maybe lost? Again, how many Apostle Pauls maybe have we lost? Somebody that can go out, Brother Danny, and change the world. Just look out at this God-forsaken world. Excuse me. And say, enough is enough. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many? So what do I do? Well, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Brother Scott, I'm going to keep trying to preach. If God will give me opportunity, I'm kind of running out of gas even now and in my life. But folks, I want to make a difference in your life. I hope something I've said does. That's not being egotistical. I wouldn't have much use for a preacher that would say, well, I don't care whether you remember anything I said today or not. What's that? I want to make an impact in people's lives. I want folks for the truth above all else. Do you put your hand on the Bible and say, what is it they say in a court of law? I don't guess they do it much anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm off there. Sometimes we as preachers get to saying things and we can't really back up some of our ideas like we ought to. But the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And that's what I want. I don't want to tell you lies. I don't want to tell you fairy tales. I don't want to tell you something that ain't possible. Fourth time I've used that word, I think. I will ban it from my vocabulary after today, I promise. Try to, anyway. Folks, it makes a difference. If you have questions about this religion, ask it. Folks, if it will not bear the scrutiny, if it will not stand up to the fiery furnace, get rid of it. Amen. Seriously, find one that will. Because heaven, you've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's that important. It is eternally important. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What if you were to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Well, today people don't even know they've got a soul. And I honestly begin to wonder about some of them. Excuse that again. Man became a living soul in the image of God. Let us make man in our image and in our life. Folks, I know of nothing, I know of no other living creature in the world that has that. Yes, I know there are animals that are pretty smart, and you can train them to do a lot of things. I understand that dolphins are some of the most intelligent creatures that there are. But folks, we've got a soul, the image of God. We can think. I've often used this, and bear with me a little bit. You ever seen a dog chase the postman? Well, you've probably seen it in cartoons a lot. Well, you know what? The dog does not repent of that. The dog does not stop and say, think to himself. You know, we can think. In fact, I can think about what my actions, I can think about it. I can think about what I'm thinking right now. Isn't that scary? But that dog never says to himself, never contemplates things. He says, now why did I chase that poor postman? He never did anything to me. Shame on me. I'm a disgrace to my species, the canine species. They don't do that. But you and I do. Why did I do that? Why did I say something about brother or sister so-and-so last week that I shouldn't have had? Isn't it? Well, it can really affect your conscience and give you a good guilt trip. And I'm not afraid of a guilt trip. Well, I am. Kind of hard, isn't it, to know just where you draw the line in these things. How much guilt do I want? Oh, I got to close. Is God going to deliver us? I don't know. But I know this much. I do have an ultimate deliverance. I got a place called heaven that I'm going to. And I want to get back to what I said. One of these days, I'm going to interrogate some of those old saints. My goodness, I plan to spend about 1,000 years with the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to say, Paul, what were you thinking? You know? And then of all the things I believe with all my heart, brother, I'm going to get to see Jesus. And one thing I'm going to try, I hope I'm not being out of place. You know, I love that song, I Can Only Imagine. But I'm going to say, Jesus, would you take me where you got that book? It's called the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And would you show me in that book where my name is? Where's my name? And I think you'll just turn to the page. You know, it'll have, bear with me in my folly a little bit. I've always wondered what number I was. Was I the 10th million, 100 and whatever person to be saved? And I believe it'll be there. The date and the time will be there. See, I've forgotten the exact date. I know it was sometime in March of 1980. and 66, but the exact date and so forth. But isn't that something? And then what am I going to say, Sister Marilyn? I'm going to say, oh, Lord, this has been worth it all. And my life has not been hard. I got to close, don't I? Somebody say amen. Okay, thank you. God bless you this morning. I'm glad to be here. Do I want to turn the services over to you, brother? Appreciate you listening to me. And God bless you. I hope that you all the best in your endeavors to find a good pastor. And thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it. Brother Scott, I guess I'll try to move out of your way here.
Enjoyed the message. And thankful